Hallelujah. Good morning. How y'all doing this morning? Amen. Blessed. That's what I thought I heard somebody say, blessed. Amen. Praise God. Man, I'm so excited to be here in the house today. Amen. Today is a good day. Happy New Year to you all. Amen. I seen y'all last year, didn't I? Yeah. Amen. Praise God. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. I can't think of a better place to be than in his house, in his presence. He is so good. I really mean that. Those are not just empty words. I mean that in this day and age, in what's going on in our world right now, I can't think of a better place to be than in the family of God. Are you hearing me? Like, in his family, there is peace, there is joy, amen, there's provision, there's protection. You know, I don't have to wake up in the morning with no hope. I have hope on the inside of me because I know that who I belong to, amen? Praise God, that's good news, man. That's good news. Some of y'all have kind of forgot about that. I'm here to tell you, God has set you free. He saved you. If you got nothing else to be thankful for, you got that to be thankful for. He saved you. He set you free. You know, a lot of people, you know, have forgotten that. And the reason why I say people have forgotten because, you know, I'm seeing their fruit. You know, you may say that you love God, but then your actions and your fruit are saying something different. Right? Oh, well, you Pastor Philip, you judging. Here you go, judging again. No. It's evident to all of us. We can see. Look, God saved me. He delivered me. You came too late to tell me that he's not real. You came too late to tell me that he doesn't deliver, that he doesn't save, that he doesn't heal. And so some folks have forgotten about that. And they have backslidden and gotten away from God and allowed for the enemy to start to attack their minds and attack their bodies and attack their families in such a way that they didn't forgot where they can go back to really get help and really get healing. And they've started to listen to the world or listen to the thoughts and ideas of suggestion, right, in this world. And thinking that, well, man, maybe I got to find some kind of help. Maybe I should just look to CBD. They didn't legalize marijuana. I'll just, you know, man, yeah, it's legal now, right? In other words, we didn't forget about God, so let's go back to the stuff that he delivered us from in the first place. And you got quiet in this word, church. So I'm just going to be straight up and just tell the truth. God delivered me. He saved me from all the mess. Now, why am I going to go back to the mess that he saved me from, he delivered me from? No, I belong to him. I give myself away. I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. How about you? Amen. See, we got to put our foot, we got to draw a line in the sand. We got to make sure that there's no mistaking where we stand in this world. Either we're with him or we're not. Like, you know, it's just one of the two. There, you know, it used to be you can kind of play both sides. You can't do that much now. Yeah, it's coming to that point to where you have to choose. Like, the devil has ramped it up so much to where you have to just flat out deny Christ, or you got to flat out reject sin and go with God. Like, it's gotten to that point. Like, we don't have that cushion anymore like folks used to have. So I'm telling you, like, you know, what say you?
Jesus.
Jesus. hey, I'm going with Jesus all the way. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Amen. Man, I didn't got started and got, I don't know. This ain't even what I'm preaching on today. But I, you know, I believe the Holy Spirit is leading me to say that. Stand for what's right. Stand for what's right. Listen, even if they pass a law against what's right, continue to still stand for what you know is right. Stay with God. I'm saying this because, you know, you need to hear this from your pastor. You need to hear this because there's so many different messages that are out here in this world. And so, you know, we're so overexposed to different thoughts and ideas and suggestions because of the current, you know, the current access that people have. There are so many, there are people who are paying millions and millions of dollars for a finite moment in your attention span. Like, just to get your attention, they are paying millions of dollars to suggest an idea to you. And so while you're here today, while I have your attention, I want to share the truth of God's word to you. I get, on average, one shot a week to do that. For some of you, a couple. Right? But what I'm going to be sharing today is the truth from God's word, not my opinion, not what I think about how things should be, but how he thinks and how he knows things should be. Amen. And his word, it delivers, his word delivers us, it sets us free. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Amen. So praise God. Today is week two of a series that we just got started last week. Called The Power of Routine. How many of you believe or remember that we started that? The Power of Routine. Last week we talked about Bible reading, and really the focus, the emphasis is on spiritual disciplines. And so the second spiritual discipline that we're focusing on, prayer. It's a spiritual discipline, and the Bible has something to say about prayer. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever tried to communicate with somebody via walkie-talkie? Anybody? Anybody in here ever used a walkie-talkie before? All right. Have you ever tried to use one with somebody that didn't know how to use it? All right. I know a lot of people don't use those anymore, so I'm just trying to, I'm talking to different people, many different people in here. But if you ever used one before, you probably talked to somebody that didn't quite know how to use it properly. And, you know, they might not hold the button down at the right time, or, you know, they might cut into what they're saying and not quite, you miss what they're saying because they didn't hold the button down and let it hold down enough so they can get out the first word. Or, you know, they just keep holding the button down, and then you're trying to talk, and they don't hear what you're saying, right? Like, Pastor, what's that got to do with prayer? We tend to pray like that. Think about it. We tend to treat prayer like a one-way conversation, where we talk and God listens, and we're the ones doing all the talking. We're the ones holding down the button the entire time instead of letting up on the button and allowing God to speak to us. So we're going to talk about prayer and talk about the importance of it and how it is a two-way conversation. We need to talk to God. The Bible shows us, and Jesus actually shows us how to pray. But then we also need to take time to listen and hear what he has to say. So we're in week number two, and the scripture text that we're going to be looking at is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to that place and get ready. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, and we're going to read all the way to 13. And we're talking about the spiritual discipline of prayer. And if there's a takeaway today, it would be that Jesus, who taught the most effective prayers, he taught that the most effective prayers are simple and heartfelt. And the other thing is that when we pray, we must talk honestly to God. All right. So are you there at Matthew chapter 6? All right. Praise God. Let's get in the word. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time. Thank you for speaking to us as we read it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "And when thou prayest," right? In other words, when you pray, "thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." Jesus goes on to say, he says, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." In other words, their reward is pretty much them getting attention. Right? The attention of men. Anybody, you ever seen anybody like that? That prays these big, glorious, flowery prayers? A lot of times they're just trying to get your attention. They're not, see, oh Lord, help me. I'm trying to say this, to share this without meddling today. Yeah, so people, you know, I get calls and people ask me to pray and go to different places and pray, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to pray. But sometimes I get the feeling that they're not really wanting me to talk to God. They really want me to just show up so I can speak for their benefit. And so I ask them, a lot of times, if it's a public, you know, thing and they're asking me to come and give a prayer, I ask them, "Are you okay with me praying to the Father in Jesus' name?" And, you know, most of the time they say yes. A few times, a couple of times, they've actually said no. "Oh, we don't want you there. Just say the Lord, you know, but no." And I told them, I said, well, you don't want, I'm not the one for you to have come pray. Because it's Jesus who saved me. And it's Jesus who actually called me to preach. So I'm not going to go and stand, you know, in your venue as a representative of Jesus Christ and not speak about Jesus. That's just me. I'm just not going to do that. Why are you saying that? Because we need to understand that when we pray, we are talking to God. We are communicating to God, not communicating to other people. Now, yes, there's power and agreement. When two or three are gathered, right, we all come together and we agree, amen? But understand that our communication is vertical, not horizontal. We're not here to try to please men, not here to try to please other people, but we are trying to communicate with God, the creator of the universe, the creator of everything. Important that we know that. So verse 6, he says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly." Right. See, many of us, we want the reward, but we want to get it before we actually go to the one who got the reward. Verse 7 goes on to say, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Jesus is saying, keep it simple when you pray. Say what you mean. Mean what you say. Just be real. Verse 8 goes on to say, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. You know, there'll be times I'll be praying. I'll be talking to God. Lord, thank you. You know, I thank you right now. You already know the situation. You know what's going on. Lord, and I just thank you right now for answering, this need, for taking care of this need. I'm just going to go on and trust you. Lord, show me if I messed up, if I missed it. Reveal it to me. Let me make adjustments so that way I can be right in your will and so we can be following through and doing what we need to do. I just prayed. I just talked to God. I didn't, oh, Lord, thus saith the Lord. You know, just go into all this, you know. And I believe, you know, we need to have fervent prayer. Like, there's a time for fervent prayer and going to God. But understand, you know, there's a lot of different things we can talk about concerning prayer. But what I really want to drive home today is that prayer is simply communication and talking with God and developing a relationship with God. Amen? The strongest relationships are the ones that have healthy communication. The healthiest, the strongest relationships have healthy and strong communication. Amen. No different from our relationship with God. All right. Verse 9, it goes on to say, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Oh, there's so much in that scripture. And, you know, Jesus even hit on fasting. I'm not going to go that deep into it because that's another discipline that we're going to talk about next week. But, you know, we see it in the context where Jesus is teaching and he's pointing out the importance of prayer. But then he goes on and he segues, he talks about fasting and how the prayer and fasting go hand in hand. But the thing is, make sure that when you do it, that it's sincere and you're not doing it so other people can see you. In other words, he's talking about the importance of prayer and this is how you pray. But most importantly, pay attention to the heart and the reason and the purpose of why you do it. Right? So in other words, it's not just important to do it, but the motive behind why you're doing it is just as important. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, we pray and we submit ourselves to God and our posture is that thy kingdom, thy glory, thy will be done.
Amen.
Lord, whatever you, look, I'm going to communicate to you. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to share with you, but with the understanding that whatever you communicate back to me, whatever you say back to me, so be it. In other words, amen.
Yeah.
Right? Amen. So Jesus, he shows us how to pray. He teaches us how to pray. Jesus encourages us in this passage to not pray lengthy or fancy prayers, thinking our eloquence will get God's attention. We're not going to impress God with all of that. We might impress a few folk, but we're not going to impress God with that. You know? all them 50 cent words. That's not going to impress God. What's going to impress God is your honesty and your faith. Believing and trusting in God. That's what's going to impress him. Remember Paul, he instructed us to pray. He said, pray continually. Pray all the time. Pray without ceasing, he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Pray without ceasing. Do it all the time. What do you mean I got to have a prayer meeting every day? No, just pray and talk to God throughout your day. On the way, Lord, I thank you for protecting my family, taking care of every need, Lord. Things that I don't even know, things that I don't even see, Lord. I thank you for covering me. Thank you for watching out for my family, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Click, click, click. All right, I'm here for work. Right? Time to clock in. Then I get into work. Okay, clock in. Okay, all right. Doing my job. All right. Hey, how you doing, sir? Good morning, sir. Beep, beep, beep. Hey, man, it's a good day out here, ain't it? All right, man. Praise God. Hey, have a good day. Amen. Lord, I just pray blessing on that family right now in Jesus' name. All right. See, make it a part of your life. It doesn't have to be a mechanical thing to where, oh, we got to, you know. Am I doing it right? No. Talk to God. You know what? It's okay to talk to God. You know, and if you're afraid, if you're scared, if you're worried about something, it's okay to tell God about it. Because the Bible says, cast all your cares upon him. As a matter of fact, he's the only one really qualified to hear all of those problems, all of those cares at the end of the day. You know, he's the only one that can do something about it. So I don't know how this is going to work. I really am at wit's end on how we're going to navigate through this. I've run out of options here. And right now, based on the facts, you know, we're going to run out of resources. We're going to run out of, you see the numbers, God. You see, the bottom line. You see what's going on. You know, I don't know if we're going to be able to make it another 30 days. You know, based on the facts. God, give me wisdom. Give me direction. If there's something that I missed, in my calculation, is there a connection I need to make? You know, am I missing it? Did I do the right thing? And take some time and listen. Just want to illustrate to you some of the conversation that possibly you might have with the Lord. He hears you. He hears you. So if you're taking notes, let me give you a couple points here, a couple things to focus on this week. Point number one is, don't pray to be seen or heard by others. You're not really trying to hear that. And this is why. Because it's not really in faith. Our attention is not on him when we do that. When we're conscious and focused on what other people are thinking and you know how good or how well we pray, we're not sincerely looking to God for the answer. Talk to God. What did verse 5 say? And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. In other words, they love to be seen, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. In other words, look, that's the reward they got for that prayer right there. That's it. I am not required to grant any of that request. They got it already. This ought to help somebody. I hope it helps somebody today. Because listen, I want your prayers to get through. That's my heart's desire, is that your prayers are heard by God. He is wanting to grant you what you're requesting. He wants to bless you, right? He wants to bless you, but we got to know how to do it, right? We got to know how to do it properly, right? Verse 6 said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. See, I believe that there are two practical applications to the scripture in verse 6. It's important to be intentional about prayer. You know, I think it's important to have a place in our house where we can get quiet so that we can go and we can pray. I believe that. At the same time, I believe that you can pray anytime and anywhere, and you don't have to just be at home. You don't just have to be at church. You can pray anywhere. Where, look, God is here. And he is there wherever you are at the same time. You don't have to wait to get to church to get a prayer through. You don't have to wait to get to your favorite Christian house to get a prayer through. You can talk to God on your own and get the answer that you need from God at your address, at your house, at your business, at your school. You can talk to God. Amen. It is good news. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, watch and pray. In that context, he didn't say, close your eyes and pray. He said, watch and pray. Right? In other words, be alert. Go on about your business. Take care of business. Now, in that context, Jesus, when he made that statement, he was talking to the disciples, and Jesus was actually in an extremely high-pressure time because he was getting ready to go into the process of being crucified. And, you know, he is just crying out to God, praying himself, talking to God, and really in a kind of a distressed situation, talking to God. Lord, if there's any chance possible, there's another way this can be done. Yeah, change it up. Because it's something. It's got to be another option, another way. And you know, when God was saying, like, this is the way. And so he gets up and he goes and he looks, and the disciples are asleep. Like, man, wake up. Now they're supposed to be guarding. He gave them a job. You have one job. Right? He had one thing to do. And he says, watch and pray. In other words, you stay alert. Watch out, you know, let's guard the situation. I got to go pray, but you watch and pray, right? I believe we can do more than one thing. You can go to work and pray, right? You can go to your family's house and during the holidays and be praying. I can remember going over a relative's house and they wouldn't saved or they wouldn't live in like they were saved. The whole time, I'm just praying, and Lord, speaking in tongues. And look, not causing a scene, Not trying to make them feel bad or feel any different, but just praying, pleading the blood of Jesus, praying, you know, God bless you. Hey, I love you, man. I ain't seen you in so long. Wow, man, it's so good to see you, man. Lord, bless him. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for deliverance in his life. Lord, I thank you for changing his mind. Lord, as he yields to you, you'll reveal to him his true purpose in his life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hey, I love you, man. Man, we used to have a great, man, remember we used to go down to the Barber Park and play? Man, that was awesome, man. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing him, man. Thank you, Lord. You just talking to God. I have more than one conversation at the same time. Amen. See, another thing, when I do that, that keeps me from getting, getting down with what they're doing. Yeah, getting caught up, getting nostalgic. Right? Amen. Y'all hearing? Is this helping anybody today? Amen. Amen. So we're not praying to be seen, but at the same time, we're making this a lifestyle, this prayer. We're making this a part of our lifestyle, part of our everyday interaction with people and interaction with God. Amen. So number two, if you're taking notes and you want to write this down, number two is we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And we're talking about the simple discipline of prayer. There's so many things we can talk about prayer. There's different types of prayer. You know, there's the infilling of the Holy Spirit. There's our heavenly language. But I'm talking about the basic idea of praying and talking to God, communicating with God. So we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Now, if anyone would know how to pray, it'd be Jesus. Right? If anybody would know exactly how to pray, it would be our Lord. And he not only gave us instruction on how to pray, but he demonstrated to us on how to pray. And remember in verse 9, it says, after this manner, therefore ye pray. In other words, do it like this. Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'm just making the record clear. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, look, you have your way in this situation, Lord. Right, and I'm paraphrasing that, but that is essentially what he's saying. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we see repentance here. We see, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. And I'm not just going to leave it at that. Lord, because you forgave me, I'm going to forgive those that done me wrong. Jesus said, that's how you should pray. Forgive other people. Forgive other people. Don't just think that you can hold on to bitterness, hold on to grudges, hold on to issues, hold on to justifying how you feel about that person because of what they did. You can't just do that and expect for God to clearly hear your request. I believe is why many of us, there's certain prayers that we haven't had answered because we haven't forgiven certain people. So forgive me, Lord. I owed that man. Didn't pay him back. He said, forgive us our debts. Forgive me, Lord, I did them wrong. And Lord, I forgive the ones that did me wrong too. I know they owe me money, Lord. But Lord, I care about more about our relationship than that $50. Because some people, it'd just be about $50 at the end of the day. Really, man? I mean, we fall out about the silliest stuff. This whole family just messed up, divided, because they owe you $50. $50? Look, man, here. Go get this right, man. So much time is wasted because of silly things like that, unforgiveness. And Lord, while I'm forgiving others, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Lord, I want to be mindful that I don't fall into temptation. Lord, I'm not going to be so conscious of what others are doing that I forget about my ability or potential to fall into temptation myself. So, Lord, I keep myself. Thank you, Lord. Deliver us from evil, Lord. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. See, Jesus is our high priest. He's our high priest. See, in the Old Testament, a high priest was required to act as a mediator. He is the one who represents God and represents God's people. He acts as an ambassador, as a chosen vehicle, through whom Yahweh, God, has chosen to serve the people and represent him on his behalf. Jesus is our high priest. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, he says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. This high priest that is here for us, he knows exactly what we're going through. He knows how to communicate it to God in a way that God will understand, because he's been there. You understand? He's a true mediator for you and I. Trust and know that your prayers will be heard. You ever try to send a message through somebody? Huh? You ever try to send a message through somebody like, okay, hey, go tell such and such that I need this amount of baking soda. I need such and such. I need this. And then they go and tell, what's the name? Right? And it's all wrong. Instead of getting baking soda, they got baking powder, right? Right? Instead of getting a bag of sugar, they got a bag of grits, whatever, It just didn't work out, right? You don't have to worry about that with Jesus. You understand? Well, Jesus is one you can tell him. You may not even know the right words to say. I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know how to say all those fancy words. But God, help me. Jesus, I need your help. I don't even know what to ask for. And Jesus said, okay, yeah, I see your pain. I know exactly what you're going through, and I know exactly what you need. Hold on just a second. And he presents it to the Father. Come on, somebody. He's our high priest. He's our advocate.
Yes.
That's a judicial term. If you've ever been in the court system, and you understand that there a lot of sometimes you have to have somebody in between you and the judge to advocate for you. Oh, come on, man. To speak on your behalf. I got you. Don't worry. I got you. So what does this mean for you and I? It means that as believers, we can be confident that when we pray to the Father in Jesus' name, that the Father hears us. He gets a clear message from us with no interference. Not only that, but there is a clear connection for us to hear God talking back to us if we are truly open to hear his voice. Hallelujah, man. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He hears my voice. He allows me to hear his voice. Thank you, Lord. So we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Number three is take time to listen to God. Take time to listen to God. You know, we tend to treat prayer like a one-way conversation. You know, where we talk to God, God listens the whole time. And we're the ones holding the button down on the little walkie-talkie. The whole time. You ever talk to somebody like that? You can't get a word in. I mean, like, they took the whole conversation. The whole conversation. You can't get one word in. Hold on to this, sister team. Every time y'all get to talking, some kind of way they figure out a way to dominate the whole conversation. The whole conversation. They're just talking. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yes. How you doing? Yes. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about. They ask you how you doing. How you doing? Well, I'm doing. Yeah, I'm glad you asked. I need your opinion about something. And then they tell you what their opinion is. Right. No. It's a two-way conversation. We take time, we talk to God, but then we back up off the button, and we allow, just push that button right there to hold that button down.
Hello.
Go ahead. Hold it down.
Doing pretty good.
Hey. Roger that. I hear you. She didn't know I was going to do this morning. Go ahead.
Actually, I'm blessed and highly favored.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Just want to illustrate that. It's a two-way conversation. There's ebbs and flows with our conversation, or ebbs and flows with our conversation with God. There's time where we need to just spill it out and let God know what's going on. But then we need to just pause. And then sometimes we just got to get away from everything and everybody so that we can clearly hear what he's saying to us. Remember, you know, last week I talked about reading the Bible and how important it is for just as a Christian, not as a preacher, not as an evangelist, just a Christian. You know, I always say this, a good preacher is a good Christian first, right? It's important to just read God's word and learn from him what he's saying through his word. It's equally important for us to take time and pray and talk to God, get quiet, and listen to what he's saying. There'll be times that God is speaking to you. He's been speaking to you all along, and he's telling you, hey, you're going the wrong way. And a lot of times our pride will get us in a position to where we don't want to hear that because we want to do what we want to do in the name of the Lord. See, we'll put that on the top of it in Jesus' name. But Lord, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we lay hands on the sick and they recovered? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do all? And we was doing the ministry. See, there's going to be some that are going to say those things to God. On the day of judgment, he's going to say, I don't even know who you are. In other words, we ain't got it like that.
Well,
get away from me. I don't know you. Right? I mean, that's the same thing. Like, you know, we ain't really got it like that, right? That's how we talk, right? No, I want to know him, and I want him to know me. And one of the greatest ways to know him is by praying and talking to him, communicating with him, and listening to him, hearing what he really has to say. Amen? And there'll be times that he, you know, there are times that I'll pray, I'll talk to God, and he'll just say, look at my word. See, God don't repeat itself much. There are times that he'll say, you know, you read God's word, there are times that Jesus will say something more than once, right? But it's an emphasis. He's really trying to emphasize. But then there are times when God, he just said it one time. And then from that point on, he's going to reroute you to the word of God. And so, what does that mean? Why are you saying that, Pastor? There are things that God has said to you, and you heard them. You got started doing it, but then you stopped doing it, and then you turn around and said, Lord, I need your will. I need to hear from you. He already told you. And you're wondering why he's not talking. You're wondering why he's not saying anything. Because he's already said to you what he wants you to do. And he's waiting for you to wake up from yourself, get back up and return right back to where he told you to go in the first place, to what he told you to do in the first place. Does that make sense to anybody? Does that? It's just simple obedience to God. Now he'll remind us. He'll confirm things, and he'll send somebody else to tell us, right? Yeah, confirmation. But God, he means what he says. So we need to take words seriously. There's so many. I'm trying to stay focused here. So many idle words that are spoken, meaningless words that are spoken. In our vernacular, in our culture, there are slang words. We say, we take words to mean one thing and we turn it around and make it mean something else. Words actually mean something. And I hear people say, man, I'm going to kill you. What? And then they jokingly saying that, like, I'm going to get you. Like, no, bro. We're not saying that. We need to take our words seriously. Oh, Pastor, you just meddling. No, I'm trying to help you. Listen, when I speak words, I want them to mean something. Because when it's time for me to go and pray and talk to God, I want to be confident in my heart that my words actually mean something, and there's value and validity to the words that I'm saying. If I don't even believe the words that come out of my mouth, how am I going to be able to pray to God in faith? Because I'm so flippant with the words that I use all the time. Say what you mean. Mean what you say. Be a man. Be a woman of your word. When you say you're going to do something, do it. That goes a long way with God. Amen. All right, I gotta get ready to stop. Let me leave you with a couple more scriptures, and then we'll get ready to transition here. John chapter 10, verse 28. Oh, I love it. It's a reminder to us. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. I'm talking about a relationship with God. God, he's talking about his relationship with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert always. In other words, pay attention. Keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Amen. There's a quote from George Mueller. He said, "It is not enough to begin to pray, nor to pray aright, nor is it enough to continue for a time to pray. But we must pray patiently, believing, continue in prayer until we obtain an answer." Amen? Amen. Understand that when you go to God in prayer, he hears you. You're conducting business. You're having a serious, a meaningful conversation with the creator of the universe. Man, I'm telling you what, that's powerful. That is powerful. If I get amen or not, I know that's real. That is powerful. The creator of the universe, the one who made the heavens, the one who made the earth, and everything in between. Somebody sent me a message the other day, and it just hit home. And they said this. He texted me this last week. "We have the most intelligent being living on the inside of us. The most intelligent being living on the inside of us." See, when we get to heaven and ask Moses, ask him what it was like to part the Red Sea, or ask David what it was like to slay Goliath, they will turn to us and ask, "What was it like to have the Holy Spirit himself living on the inside of you?" See, we have something that they didn't have. They didn't even have the ability yet or the capacity yet to have. He's with you, saints. I'm trying to finish. Consider his opinion before you make any serious decision. I could go on with that. I could really talk, deal with that. But consider his decision. Consider God first. When you're looking to make a decision to concern, give me an example, Pastor, concerning relocating and moving and going somewhere, you know, or transitioning to a different job, or doing, making some significant decision in your life, make sure to consider the Lord first, really on anything in your life, but definitely on those major decisions. I find that a lot of times there are people, and I've experienced this in my tenure of ministry, people will make some of the most important decisions without even considering talking to God. And you know what? If you really talk to God and listen to him, a part of that conversation, he'll probably include you or suggest to you to go talk to your pastor too. Salah, just a thought. Just a thought. And I say that with fear and trembling. I'm not saying that to try to get in your business and try to be, you know. I need to adhere to this too, is what I'm saying. Like, if there's something serious that I need to make a decision about, I need to talk to God. Honey, we got to get together. We got to pray about this. We got to talk to God and make sure that we're hearing clearly what God is saying before we make this move and do what we need to do, right, and make this transition, or whatever it is, right, this financial decision, whatever is on our plate at the time. It's so important. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. I love your word. I love your truth, your word. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I know that there are times when I need to be reminded of just the basic, simple things. And so, Lord, I do this with fear and trembling as I share these basic truths this month, Lord, with the idea that I want to make sure I be a good example and follow through on these things myself as a leader. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that for each and every individual in this place. Each and every person in this room is a leader at a certain, whatever capacity that you have given to them. They have a certain amount of leadership and a certain amount of influence. Lord, I thank you for reminding each and every individual in here to follow through on these disciplines of reading the Bible, praying consistently, talking to God. There are other people who are watching them. And I thank you for helping us to not only adhere to what you're saying, but to be a godly influence to others that may be just only a few steps behind us. I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you for real and true spiritual growth in the lives of these dear men and women, boys and girls, Lord, in this year, in 2020, I thank you for real and true growth, Lord, that there be a maturity and there be growth and there be development on a spiritual level. I thank you for the spiritual intensity and the fervor and the true passion for Christ, Lord, that would grow even more and develop even more in Banner of Truth Family Church. And I thank you that, Lord, lives will be blessed. I thank you that people will be impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ as a result of it, as a result of these people that you have chosen being the light, being the example, and displaying the banner of truth, God's word. We thank you for that right now. In Jesus' name. And God's people said.